So, firstly, think about this question. What is the mission of the Moorgate Talks? What is the mission of the Moorgate Talks? Now, our mission at the lunchtime talks here is to follow the mission given to us by Christ in Matthew 28. Jesus says this, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Primarily, our focus here in the city of London. Now, we do this through two ways. We do this through the proclamation and teaching of the Word, the Bible, and we do it through prayer as well. But the question you might be having is, why these ways? Well, gospel outreach and mission is God's work. And God's Word speaks as it goes out, and we commit the work to the Lord as we recognize that we can't do anything without Him. We know this to be true because of what it says in God's Word. To begin with this, think about Jesus' call to His disciples in Matthew 28. When Jesus says this, verse 18, Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, Jesus tells us here, firstly, that He's sovereign, He's in control, He has been given all authority, both in heaven and on earth. His charge to us, therefore, is to make sure that the gospel, the good news of Him, goes out and makes disciples. Not find disciples, not converts, but make disciples. That is, people who follow Jesus and want to learn from Him by His word, as we seek to teach all that Jesus taught us, as well as His apostles. But Jesus also goes on to say this to us, to show that we're not just trying to wing it, we're not trying to do it in our own strength. Look at what He goes on to say. He says this promise to us, "And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Wow. That's amazing. That is such a promise to us. Jesus says that He is with us, which is possible through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And this is as permanent as it can be in this lifetime. Jesus says this is not just for a moment. This is not just for a week. This is always to the end of the age. Now, if we tried to do all of this on our own strength, we would get somewhere. Don't get me wrong. But it wouldn't hold traction forever. You see, the thing is, it would only last as long as we ourselves would last. Now, one of the litmus tests that we have here at the Lunchtime Talks as a ministry is this. If, in the worst case scenario, say, for example, Phil was struck down with bubonic plague, Julia went on maternity leave early, and I got hit by a bus, what would the future of the Lunchtime Talks look like? Would you, as a network group of believers, make sure that the work carries on here in Moorgate? Now, over the years, some of you are older than myself, and you have seen these changes, that the Lunchtime Talks have gone through various changes. Maybe it's different venue, maybe it's different faces. But the one thing that we seek to remain consistent is this. It's the dependency upon God's Word and entrusting the work to the Lord, who promises to be alongside His people as they serve Him in mission. And so what we want to encourage you is not just the mission for the three of us, but for all of you, is that we are all to go out and make disciples of all nations. Okay, so if that is our mission then, how does that play out? What is our identity here at the Moorgate Talks? Well, you might be aware that the Moorgate Talks exists alongside another group called the Aldersgate Talks that we run on Tuesdays, but they don't exist by themselves. In fact, we are part of something much bigger called the Gospel at Work Network. Now, everyone in the Gospel at Work Network exists to share the same gospel and to enable Christian workers to make a stand for the gospel in their workplaces, as well as giving them opportunities to speak about what they have heard and to invite their colleagues along to hear the truth of God's word being proclaimed. Now, to get a sense of what this might be, if you think about the likes of UCCF or London City Mission, if you've heard of them, now much like how these charities and organizations operate alongside the church, our aim is to reach out to those working in the city. Whether it's the office employee, the CEO, senior partner, even the blue-collar worker working in facilities or services. We want to reach out with the gospel and make disciples of every nation, every identity within the workplace. And we'll want to have a desire to make disciples, especially where opportunities are lacking, just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. You see it on your sheets there. That we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you, without boasting of the work already done in another's area of influence. See, therefore, we want to pioneer new opportunities of ministry growth where there isn't any. Think about where that might be. Think about that office where there is no Christian network group. Or that floor in your building where there isn't a Christianity Explorer course happening. Now, to make those things a reality, we want to recruit, train, and partner with Christian city workers in this work. That means you guys. You see, without you, it's impossible for us to enter any building and be a gospel witness. But the reality is, many of you can go where we cannot go. And so just as Christ calls all his people to go and make disciples of every nation, we are encouraging you to join in that ministry work and make Christ known in the workplace. That is our identity. That we want to spread the gospel far and wide where you guys are working. But why do we believe in this ministry? Why is it that we do what we do? Well, to change tack a little bit, I want to give my thanks to the City of London Council, something I don't normally do. But on the City of London Council website, you can find the statistics for the City of London's role in global business for finance and related professional services. Now, these numbers include this. The £294 billion generated in economic output around the UK each year. £97 billion of that money is produced here in the city alone. And one in five financial jobs in the UK are based right here in the City of London as well. But those are worldly economy stats. What about the economy stats, though, that God is more interested in, that God cares more about? Well, here in the City of London Council have worked out that there are 678,000 workers here in the city. 678,000 people working here each day, Monday to Friday. And you know, that's a 25% increase from 2019 when there was there's now 136,000 more people. Now, think about that for a second. 678,000 people. 678,000 people made in the image of God. 678,000 people made by God. Made by God to know him. Currently out there right now. And of those 678,000 workers, think about how many of them you come into contact with each day. In your office, your clientele, those regulars you meet in the coffee shop or when you're picking up your meal deal for lunch. Even those that you're pushing past and elbowing when you're trying to get onto the tube. Each one of those people matter to God. They are part of his economy in terms of building his kingdom. Look back at Jesus' command in Matthew 28. Now, in the past, this command was seen as a mandate to go out in mission across the world and reach the nations. But in cosmopolitan London today, those nations are right on your doorstep. All having a different worldview, a different cultural upbringing to yourself. Now, it's estimated that 49% of the city workers come from outside the UK. And each one of you will come across individuals from various walks of life right in your offices. See, the reality is, this ministry cannot happen without your involvement. Whilst we seek to open the Word of God and teach it here on Wednesdays, you will be going into your offices each day and spending on average between 8 to 10 hours, maybe even more, with your colleagues each day. And in a post-COVID world, the amount of time in the office has decreased. We recognize that. But we hopefully expect to see this number increase again as many companies are pushing to return to a 5-day working week in the office. And so what does this all mean? Well, this means that each time you go into your office, you are going into your mission field with an opportunity to share the gospel. And each time we meet here together on Wednesdays to open the Bible and hear God speak, we are being equipped to go out and be His witnesses in the workplace. Now, there are many stories that we hear of about how God moves to bring salvation to people in the workplace and even here in the lunchtime talks. In fact, just last September, I had the joy of watching someone come to faith after he attended one lunchtime talk here in Moorgate. Now, we haven't seen him since on Wednesdays, but I have been keeping regular contact with him. And I have seen the gospel at work in his life. For since he has come to faith, he has now started bringing his wife and his kids to church. His mum and his stepdad has been coming to church. And one of the encouragements that he shared to me is that he said it's such a joy to see his mum reading the Bible. We pray that God would speak to that lady and to his family, and that he would continue growing as he is planted, is plugged into a church over in Enfield. But it's not just him. Many other individuals have greatly benefited from ministry that happens in the workplace. Just down the road from where I live in Bermondsey is the biscuit factory. You might know of it. Now, many years ago, whilst the biscuit factory was actually a biscuit factory and not an office building, someone shared the gospel with their colleague and invited them to church. Now, they reluctantly came along. They weren't happy at first, but they thought, I'll give this guy a bit of peace and quiet. But you know, through that, they became a Christian. Now, that guy, after reluctantly going to church, becoming a Christian, he then goes on to share the gospel with his brother, who then becomes a Christian. That brother is then friends with a guy called Barry Gillam, who he then shares the gospel with. Now, do you see the chain reaction at work here? Now, Barry Gillam is quite a well-known name in the Southeast London area. For Barry Gillam was known for doing ministry work amongst kids in Camberwell, where many had came to faith through his ministry. You see, workplace ministry is more than just reaching your colleagues with the gospel. It's about the kingdom of God growing and how the Lord uses his people for his ongoing work wherever they are placed, not just in the workplace, but in their family life, amongst their friends, and with their neighbours. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 9, that the harvest is plentiful. And here in the city, we can see the truth of that statement around us. But it's not possible for three individuals to achieve this work by ourselves. Because Jesus also goes on to say, but the labourers are few. But Jesus goes on and encourages us to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into his harvest and invest into the gospel work that is much needed here in this city. You see, it is the Lord's desire that the gospel goes out to everyone, and that our belief is that the Lord has placed us here in this time to do his work as his laborers. Without you, this ministry would not be possible, as the Lord has given you this opportunity and responsibility to share his good news with those whom you come into contact with. And one of the ways in which you can do that and make this possible is through your generosity and your giving. When you do that, you're not just giving for the work now. You're investing into the economy of God's kingdom for all eternity. Because one day in eternity, one day when you're called into God's kingdom, you might have someone come up to you and they will be able to say thank you to you because you gave, and through your gift to the lunchtime talks, I was able to hear the gospel and believe that Jesus is Lord. Because you gave, you enabled someone to lead a Christianity Explorer course in my office and I came to know Jesus. Or because you gave, I was able to bring my colleagues along to an evangelistic event and they came to faith. And then off the back of that, we could set up a Christian network and a Bible study to encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. God's kingdom is growing. It is full of potential. And we want to see where that kingdom will grow in your lives. As at this point, I just want to invite Paul up. He's going to share with us the finance report and the giving for the talks. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
If you notice there, just on the giving there, Paul in Philippians talks about how the Philippian church partnered with him in giving. Paul was really thankful for his relationship with them and that partnership that he had in the gospel with them. It's something that we are thankful of ourselves and for those who have given in the past. As Paul says, the gospel is free. We don't give in order to receive anything in terms of salvation. Or to receive favor or carry in with God, but we give freely and generously because of all the good things that God has already given us. And so when we think about this ministry, this work, we've talked about what it is, we talk about how we want to do it, but how will we seek to fulfill it? How will we seek to fulfill the work and mission of the ministry of the Lunchtime Talks? Now, as I've mentioned at the beginning, we do this through the preaching of the word and prayer. And these are two things that we're going to explore more briefly as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. If someone could shout out a page number, that would be much help, much appreciated.
1162.
1162. Thank you, Paul. 1162. And I'm just going to read 6 verses here. Second Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Paul says this, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, what are we seeking from ministry in the word and prayer? Well, two things to remember. Firstly, we depend on God's mercy with prayer, and we hold out the open truth of God's word and proclaim Jesus Christ. So let's think about this first point here. We depend on God's mercy with prayer. Now, ministry is not something that we just conjure up by our own ambitions. It's not something that you just decide to go and do in our own strength. But Paul says in verse 1 here, our ministry is by the mercy of God. That very thing that sustains this ministry for as long as it is his will that it should continue. Now, in the gospel going out, the Lord does an amazing work through his word. And throughout this chapter, Paul takes encouragement in the truth that the ministry of the gospel leads to the beginning of new creation within a fallen and broken world. And the Lord invites us to be part of this ministry by his mercy. Now, if we forget that for one moment, then we lose sight of the importance of prayer. In Psalm 127, we are reminded that unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Now, we don't want to the ministry of the mortgage talks to be built in vain in any way. But we want to join in the building work that God calls us to do in building his kingdom. Therefore, we submit ourselves to him in prayer. And we pray for the ministry that he gives us to be a fruitful ministry by his mercy and grace. Now, for you, that means that where God has called you to work is significant. You see, your office is your mission field, and God has placed you there by his mercy. And this is an encouragement for us all, because it reminds us that we are not where we are at by luck or by chance, but it's by the sovereignty of God and his purposes. And what those purposes are is that you make him known where he has called you amongst your colleagues. And so in doing so, depend on the Lord through prayer. Now, what this looks like practically here at the Moorgate Talks is that we will keep committing to regularly praying for those who come along here to the lunchtime talks and are involved in ministry in their workplaces. We do that by meeting every Wednesday at 8:15 over at Dark Brook Coffee down on Coleman Street. And we pray for you guys specifically. We pray for what you are doing in bringing your colleagues along to the talks. We pray for what you're doing in reaching out to your colleagues in your workplaces. We pray for the Christian network groups. We pray for the Bible studies happening. And so the question I have for you is this. Will you join us? The prayer meeting is not exclusive to the staff team. We love to see other individuals joining us in prayer for this ministry. And it would be such an encouragement for us to see that work grow and to really commit ourselves to the Lord and trust him with the ministry that he has given us by his mercy. And so we depend on God's mercy with prayer. And secondly, we hold out the open truth of God's word and keep proclaiming Jesus Christ. Now, our main conviction at the Moorgate Talks is that the word of God does the work in the believer. Let me repeat that again. The word of God does the work in the believer. Now, in verse 2, Paul talks about how the practice of cunning or tampering with God's word is to be refused. But the truth of the word needs to be open and on display. Just as Paul refused to water down the truth or change it to suit what people want to hear, we believe that through the faithful teaching of God's word, it will lead to the proclamation of the gospel message that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, as we've been going through Mark's gospel, and Phil has reminded us the last few weeks, that in Mark's gospel, Jesus tells us that it is the power of God's word at work in our lives. And if we see people refusing or lacking growth, then the problem is not the word itself, for the word hasn't changed. But the problem is actually with the hearer of the word. Now, Paul says here in verses 3 to 4 that we live in a dark age where people are veiled to the truth of the gospel by the god of this world who is Satan. And he has blinded them to the truth. But we believe that the light of the gospel is the glory of Christ, which is revealed through the open statement of this truth, which comes through the preaching of God's word, the proclamation of God's word. Opening the word and letting God speak as it is proclaimed out loud. And so we desire to preach it. And verse 5, we desire to make Jesus Christ, who is Lord, known. Now it's like this. Think about it this way. When you go into a restaurant and your meal arrives, say you're at one of them bougie 3 Michelin star restaurants, you're going to Core by Claire Smith or something like that, and the meal comes out and you take a taste of it and you go, this is amazing. Now you're there with your friends or your clients or your work colleagues, whoever it is. What do you do whenever you take a bite of that meal? Do you sit there and think, I've ordered well, I've done a good job, well done me? Of course you don't. You take a bite of it and you go, here, this is amazing. You have to try this. Now, maybe don't do that if you're in a client meeting, can I just say, because that would be a slightly weird. Well, if that's true for a plate of food, then how much more are we to express the wonders of the gospel that saved us, known through the word that we hold out and share with people, We share it with conviction in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord and that the truth is shone into our hearts and gives us that deep joy, that sense of wonder and amazement. You see, our aim this year is to continue teaching this word boldly and faithfully. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be having a series of evangelistic events where you can invite your colleagues along too. And next week, Tobias Brown, the senior minister of Grace Church Broccoli, he will be coming along to share his story of how the gospel transformed his life, where the word of God spoke to him and brought him from darkness into light. And he will be then giving us a gospel presentation to explain how Jesus took our place on the cross. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be going through the gospel as we explain how there are two ways to live. Please invite your colleagues along to those things. And be doing so prayerfully, trusting the Lord with those invites. Please be praying for us as well, as we seek to faithfully proclaim God's word this year and seek to win souls for the kingdom by God's grace. But also looking ahead, we want to continue building the work of the Moorgate Talks. We recognise that we want to support you guys who are serving in the gospel faithfully here in Moorgate. And so thinking ahead, we're going to be thinking about how we can implement the carol services that we've been doing every year in Aldersgate, how we can replicate some of that here in Moorgate, making use of the space that we have. And in addition, we want to find other ways in which we can encourage you guys to keep going in proclaiming the gospel in your workplaces. We will be continuing to pray for you as gospel partners. And we want you guys to partner with us as we proclaim God's word here on Wednesdays. See, this work is not possible without you. And so please continue to partner with us or join as a gospel partner and let's serve in the work that the Lord has called us to together. We would love to hear more stories of Christianity Explored happening and love to hear stories of colleagues coming to know the Lord or being discipled in one-to-ones. And coming to the talks and getting plugged into evangelical churches. Now in the temple